And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is business, business, business. My first guest was the co-anchor of CNBC's The Call. She's the former energy reporter for that network. Before that, she was a childhood actor, and we talked about her transition in media from television and commercial star to business reporter. My next guest is a successful businessman and consultant. He helps individuals and companies create unparalleled success. He's a master of workarounds that keep you moving forward in both work and in life. We're going to discuss his latest book, Workarounds That Work. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Russell Brand has started 5 successful companies in his career. He's become a recognized expert in personal and organizational transformation, helping individuals and companies create unparalleled success. He's an early pioneer in the field of large group personal development. Russell created the Insight Seminars way back in 1978, and to date, over 1 million people in 34 different countries have graduated from the Insight Seminars. In 2000, Russell started Bishop & Bishop, a consulting firm. His clients include Fortune 500 companies. He is the senior editor-at-large for the Huffington Post. He has a weekly blog that's read by tens of thousands of readers that focuses on improving the quality of life at every level. Russell received his master's degree in educational psychology from the University of California at Davis, and he currently resides in Santa Barbara with his wife. He's an avid golfer and an amateur chef. Welcome to the show, Russell. How are you today?
Hey, Bill Frank. It's my ever great pleasure to be with you today.
Well, we're glad to have you as a guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Thank you so much for doing that. Now, first question I have to ask you, David Allen wrote the foreword to your book, and David is a well-known consultant and productivity guru here in the Ojai area. And I have to ask you, there are so many productivity gurus in Ventura, Santa Barbara counties that are practicing right now that I'm willing to bet per capita there's no other place in the country with as many. Why do you think so many businesses, and particularly consulting businesses, start up in Santa Barbara, Ventura counties?
Well, besides being a little bit of God's heaven, I mean, what else could you want?
Well, that's,
I know David and I worked together back in the 80s, and we moved our business from Santa Monica up to Ojai and Santa Barbara because we wanted to escape the L.A. madness. So maybe that's got something to do with it.
Well, I think it does. And, of course, all of my listeners would agree with you. This is just a slice of heaven right here in Ventura and Santa Barbara County. So that's what I was hoping for. Thanks very much for that. So your latest book, Workarounds at Work, How to Conquer Anything That Stands in Your Way at Work. Great new book, starting to climb up the bestseller list. And one of the key issues when you're working around a problem, as you point out in your book, is called framing the problem. Too often we get stuck framing the problem in one way. So give us some examples of how reframing a problem can help you work around that problem.
Sure thing. The first thing to note is that as soon as you tell yourself it's a problem, your brain starts to cooperate and go, oh, yeah, problem. Ooh, it's worse than I thought. And we sort of add dimensions of negativity to it. So a good friend of mine, Erwin Carasa, who started Lazy Acres up in Santa Barbara.
Sure.
He said, no, it's not a problem. It's a puzzle. And a puzzle has a solution. And a puzzle is fun. So every time he found problems, he said, let me turn it into a puzzle. And one of his favorite ones was when he started the store, there was all this waste coming from produce that had bruises on it.
Yes.
But was still fine. And that's how soup bars got invented.
Interesting. How very interesting. So he looks at it as a puzzle, turns it around. Now, one of the examples that you use in the book, which I found both compelling and moving, is your friend Mitchell and the story that he had about leaving the hospital. Do you mind sharing that with my listeners?
Oh, sure. Very quickly, Mitchell was hit by a car while riding a motorcycle. The gas tank exploded. He was literally burned to a crisp, all his fingers burned off, and horribly disfigured. Painful, long recovery, did recover, wound up in a small plane crash, and then paralyzed. So if anybody had a right to complain about life ain't fair, it's Mitchell.
Yeah.
And so he wrote a book, and it says, hey, it's not what happens to you, it's what you do about it. And one of his favorite things to say to people who start to feel sorry for him is, hey, there were 10,000 things I could do before I was paralyzed. Now there's 9,000. What should I do? Complain about the 1,000 I lost? We'll celebrate the 9,000 I have.
Hmm.
What an attitude.
Yeah, that is. That's a very positive attitude the man has. So, but he was leaving the hospital, and he actually had to reframe the problem so that he could get out of the hospital. How did that come
about? Absolutely. So he's in rehab for the paralysis. There's a Monday meeting with his team, and the doctor pulls up the chair to the head of the conference table and pontificates about what they're doing with Mitchell. Mitchell decides he's had enough. He talks to his therapist, and he says, I'm leaving on Monday afternoon. Therapist says, doctor hasn't approved, says, watch. Mitchell gets to the conference room early, drags the doctor's chair away, positions himself at the head of the table. Everyone shows up, sits down. The doctor comes in and goes, oh, my God, what happened here? Mitchell says, welcome to my meeting. Have a chair. And he announces that he's leaving. The doctor protests. The rehab specialist says, you don't understand, doctor. He didn't ask if he could. He said he is leaving. Our job is to figure out how we help him. So he took control and made it happen.
And that's how reframing really helped him out of a situation of when he could leave the hospital, he's leaving, and what do we have to solve to really get him out of the hospital in his time frame. Loved the story. Actually brought a tear to my eye. Great story that you tell there. Now, it's been my experience in business, limited though it is, that many of the obstacles there are caused by misaligned leaders and unclear direction on where the company is going. So what are some tips for helping bring leaders more in alignment and giving them some more focus?
What I always do with a leadership team, whether it's the senior leadership of the whole organization or maybe a project team, is I ask them two simple questions. What's the vision, mission, or purpose that you're headed toward? And if they can't answer that one, you know you're in trouble. But today, a lot of people can simply look at their name tag or read a chart on the wall and tell you what that is. So then ask them, well, based on that, what are your top three strategic goals for the next 12 to 18 months? And that's the telltale sign. If the average leadership team has seven, the average number of answers is 18.
So it's exponential to the number of goals that they actually
pretty
have.
Pretty much. And so what they're always doing, and it's easy to point out, is this. So we asked you what's important to the company, and you answered what's important to your silo. Does that explain the conflicts around here about headcount and budget and resource allocation and priorities? So we really need to help people figure out what the top three, four, I'll give them five goals, but not 18.
All right. And that makes sense. And I'm glad that you brought up the silo mentality, because that is truly one of the things that's holding back many companies in this country, certainly in Ventura and Santa Barbara counties as well. So how do you get around that silo mentality? I know everybody's supposed to have their eye on the prize and we're going towards the goal and we want to be number one, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, if I'm a manager, it's all about people, it's headcount, it's budget, and getting things done so that I can do my job more effectively.
Well, you've obviously answered or asked the $64 million question. It comes in layers. And the first piece is to get people understanding that there's no such thing as a successful silo without a successful business. And so each has to pull its own weight, but each has to work in cooperation and collaboration with the other. So if you can get people focused on the same goals, then you also need to look at your comp system. And if you're compensated, look at banking crisis, for goodness sake. Mm. These guys were compensated for placing loans, not for placing loans that could pay off.
Right.
Did their silo win? Sure did. Did the bank win? I don't think so.
Got it. And that makes some sense. I like that approach. And that banking example is a good example of that. But in reality, people resist that. And resistance or inertia, call it what you will, that's one of the biggest obstacles. So how do you get people to overcome their initial inertia or their resistance?
Well, a good friend of mine, Michael Winston, who just lives down the road in Thousand Oaks, Michael led a number of turnarounds at Lockheed, at McDonnell Douglas. Gavin brought him into Motorola, and then later he was ticked off and went to Merrill Lynch. And he said, people hate changes made to them, but they don't mind changes made by them. And that's the first real trick. Instead of going and trying to convince people they need to change, simply ask them, what isn't working here? What would work better? How could you imagine that? What could you do? And people will, generally speaking, come up with more ideas than you or me could have come up in a week.
Well, that's good. And that's where you want the ideas to come from, is from the ground level, where they have feet on the street, as they say. But even so, just having them reframe it, what's going to get out of your way, how do you really flip the switch between positive and negative in that situation of presenting change?
Absolutely. So my favorite question to people is to simply say, no matter what the problem is. So those of you listening, if this is something at home with you and your kids, your bank account, your job, your whole business. It doesn't matter. First question every time. What could you do that would make a difference that requires no one's permission other than your own? Now, when you ask that question, most people can come up with some things. Now, the resistors, the real negative resistors will say, well, why should I move if they don't?
Exactly.
Billy
it's not
should
my job.
Go first.
Mm.
And so I will say, hey, I don't care. If Billy doesn't get it, would your life improve anyway? And we're not talking about going from the bottom of the hill to the gold mine in the sky. I'm just saying, would it be one bit better? And if you can make it one bit better, do it, because you might be able to find the second bit.
I love it. So it's all sequential. It's all a process rather than an end goal that you're going for. And really getting people to focus on the process is more important than getting them to focus on the goal anyway, right?
Oh, well, absolutely. I call it being directionally correct and stop worrying about being perfectionally correct.
I like that. Directionally correct versus perfectionally correct. I like it. Too often we get hung up on perfection, don't we? We're talking to Russell Bishop, everybody. His latest book is Workarounds That Work, How to Conquer Anything That Stands in Your Way at Work. We're getting a lot of really valuable information here, Russell, from the information, from the interview here. So let me come back and give us some practical ideas. And I'm going to throw you into a situation here. We haven't talked about this prior to the interview, but you're a California resident, as I am, as my listeners are here in Ventura County. So you can take a look at the legislature in Sacramento right now, and you realize that it's dysfunctional, that we face a number of challenges coming up in the next few weeks and months. Help us frame the problem in Sacramento in such a way that we can move beyond this bypass that we seem to have in the legislature to a more productive, more constructive endgame.
Well, that's obviously a great question, and if I were running for governor, I probably couldn't make it work either. So let me tell you what I think really matters. And at the end of the day, you've got to bring people into the fundamental conversation that says, let's not argue about how we make something better. Let's argue about what better looks like. And if we can get people to focus on what an improved state of mind, what the state of the state would be like, then we can start brainstorming options to get there. But most people argue over their positions. My way's the right way. Oh, yeah, well, my way's the right way. And then we wind up with Arizona and people shooting each other.
Mm. Yeah,
and that's
right.
Never going to work. So we really need to understand, in negotiation theory, you always want to say, what's important to you? Why is it important? And when you get to the why is where you can get creative in solutions.
What's important to you and why is it important to you? And what are some of the reasons why things are important in business that people would glom onto?
Well, you know, a classic argument in a selling situation is around price. And it could be that the seller doesn't really care so much about price. It's about his or her cash flow. And so if you argue about price, you never address their issue that they can't really afford it right now anyway.
Hmm.
But that's where you could come up with a workaround for them that's around payment terms. Maybe the buyer the seller doesn't care so much about the price, and they're just looking at net present value. So if you care about NPV, you might be able to offer a significant discount for an all-cash upfront payment. And then the buyer says, ooh, I just got a deal, and the seller got his or her cash early and putting the cash to work for them, they wound up in the same place anyway.
Oh,
all you argue about is price, you get stuck in a bidding war.
Got it. We're talking to Russell Brand, everybody. He's the author of the new book, Workarounds That Work, How to Conquer Anything That Stands in Your Way at Work. And Russell, one of the things that I liked about your book is the interesting aspects of it, is the emphasis that you place on responsibility. It's really two words, responsibility rather than responsibility. Would you clarify or expand on that for my listeners?
Sure thing, folks. Anytime you're faced with a set of choices, you have responses or options about what to choose. And then you may need to think about, well, for option A, what's my ability? And eventually you're going to find out that certain options, certain choices, certain responses that are available to you, you will be differentiated by how skillful you are at implementing them. So you may choose the less exotic response because you're best equipped to implement it. So think about your ability to respond. What are your choices? How good are you? And then pick the ones you're most likely to succeed at. And then when the road forks and you find out it wasn't perfectionally correct, but it was directionally correct, you can reevaluate and choose again.
I love it. We're talking to Russell Brand, everybody. His latest book is got crammed with good information if you're in business. It's called Workarounds That Work, How to Conquer Anything That Stands in Your Way at Work. Russell, if people like some of the solutions that you're giving them, like the information, where would you direct them to go to learn more about you, your book, and your services?
Thanks, Billy. My name is Russell Bishop. That's Russell with two S's and two L's, and Bishop, B-I-S-H-O-P. So if you go to russellbishop.com, you'll find my book. You'll find you can get download a free chapter. There's even an offer for a free coaching session with me if you buy a handful of books.
Oh, that is great. We've been talking to Russell Bishop, everybody, author of the book, Workarounds at Work, How to Conquer Anything That Stands in Your Way. Russell, it has really been very informative. Thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Hey, I love it. Join you anytime.
All right. Thanks so much.